So, lots of things, just a quick example like that. And isn't it amazing? You don't need much, do you?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need much. And that's what people don't realize when they go and get these huge interviews.
Did she
try
to
hear
the eye?
Did
she over to
10
you?
Hours
yeah.
transcribing them. It's hard. You don't need much. If you've got a good focused question and issues, people, you know, you can get
mm-hmm.
people to talk. What I'd like you to spend a few minutes of it, just, it was just a tester to get you going, but it's fun, and you've found lots of things by listening, and you want to share, you want to get engaged. You know, the hardest part is getting started, okay? But once you get started, you see what's so much easier to do this with a person, with someone else. I mean,
mm-hmm.
team analysis is really good. It's brutal sometimes to do it alone, but it can be done. So let's take a couple of minutes now before we have to go back to the other stuff, the reading, and if we've got time at the end, which we may not, because the readings were a bit short this week, so you may not want to talk much about them, we can come back to this. But let's think reflexively now, because this is often the hardest part. We can find things, and we can pull out things, but we're not always attending to the reflexive awareness part of the research process, and we don't want it to be an afterthought. You don't want to have all your data all nicely done, and you're ready to type it up, and you think, ooh, now I've got to sound reflexive in it, because that's part of what I should have been doing. So just right off the cuff, you know, can you give me an example of an instance where you were aware of your role as a researcher interpreting this, your own subjective role?
I thought I perhaps had a bias in one case from my family background.
Okay.
When she said, you're rooting for yourself in the country. In my family, you would never go on welfare. You just never knew it was a really strong thing, and that people would do this, something wrong with them. It's kind of a,
okay.
in my family. So when I see the part that says, you're looking for yourself in the country, it's like,
yeah.
I just pull in that. Now that might not be at all what she meant.
Yeah.
And
that's a beautiful example. I've had other students who've worked on these say they're really floored by that. Coming from North America, because they never think of a country as being an issue. Like, the nationalism would be the interpretation then, that it's stuck of nationalism, whereas you've took it in terms of the welfare
mm-hmm.
state. See, it's already two really different avenues, and
well,
yet we're still not sure.
That's
what
a very wartime sort of.
It was,
yeah.
doesn't it?
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Where's
yeah.
that coming from? Who is that coming from, too? Perhaps it makes it's more what it kind of makes me think of. You know, is that a parent talking? Is that, where's that nationalism? Is it nationalism? I don't know.
I mean, she interpreted it as
patriotic.
I thought it was
yeah.
patriotic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought, when you say you're working for yourself and the country, it's to me like you're working.
Yeah, I can see it, exactly. See the connection. Now, you see how wonderful it is? Without her doing that, not only did you provide an alternative interpretation for it, which then allows you to think about it more, question and what that meaning would be and where it's coming from, your reflexive awareness allowed them. And whereas otherwise we may have not had any other interpretation.
Patriotic.
Yeah, and a story. And for that case, might have even dismissed it. That's not a really important part of the analysis to think about, which you banned it, thinking it isn't anyway overall. But imagine if you rejected something that was, purely because you didn't consider alternatives. And where else are you going to get the alternatives from? Through the team analysis, you can get it quite often. But through reflexive analysis, you can too. So that's good. Good example. Any other example that you can think about?
For me, it was that my own sort of feminist beliefs,
yeah.
which are really moderate,
mm-hmm.
but purposely moderate,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense, where it's like you're afraid of being too radical,
mm-hmm.
so you kind of really couch them in,
mm-hmm.
and then they become very sort of walled in,
mm-hmm.
and so I was conscious of her beliefs sort of swinging from one side to the other, because
mm-hmm.
I remember sort of going through something like that as a teenager too, where it's like, I should be feminist, but I have no idea what it means.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Well, actually, I took a different take on it. What bothered me about this in my, you know, psyche, if you like, was this almost, this rejection of feminism, because, you know, I'm not a feminist. Like a lot of young women today, you know, will immediately tell you that. I'm not a feminist. You know, feminism was something that happened in the past, you know, and they consider it with burning bras and, you know, and too much associated with sexuality and other issues that they just haven't got a grasp of what it was or what it is, you know. But there's a full rejection of it for that reason, rather than a moderation of it. It's just, you know, and coupled with that, my other problem that rings true is this notion that we've achieved equality. Like, hello, you know. And if our 14-year-old girls think we've got equality already, you know, it's pretty scary from my perspective. So that's where my reflexivity really comes to the fore when I start to think about what is it that, and that helps me interpret. What is it that's allowing, enabling them? What out there? What messages are we giving now that they've got equality? They've made it. You know. Anything else?
Well, one thing, I mean, when you talked about feminism, and not that I have done many readings, maybe one or two articles at times, but I mean, I come from a business background then. The first time I did any sort of feminist reading in different course, and the idea that I had was, oh, this is socialist.
Yes.
It wasn't, I mean, it wasn't about sort of male-female conflict or anything. The idea I had was, this is socialist stuff.
Yeah.
Depends on the type of background you come from.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So the political connotation for you.
Yeah, for me. Yeah.
Which it carries, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's a definite interpretive framework of political within that. So maybe it's more, is that what the girls are rejecting? Is it that side of it? Could be. You know? But we're attending to them, at least. They're questions. So the questioning, for me, reflexive awareness is a lot of questions. It helps, it's the more questioning process of your role and the questioning of, you know, what other possibilities are there, and why would I think that's so important, or why does that ring a bell with me, why does that strike a nerve? That starts that really process going. Anything that seems really alien, completely.
I found it very, very familiar. It's sort of it's the party line kind
okay,
of thing.
Good.
It's, you know, what we're taught to say. And if you don't do any further thinking or reading or investigation or introspection, then you're stuck with that. You're stuck with the party line and very typical, you know, this should be this and that should be that. And you go along with these sort of truths in life. And so that's what really struck me about it. But then I thought, she's 14. I mean, that's what you do when you're 14, is that you're just learning those sorts of abstractions and you're learning how to make sense of the world. You know, it takes a few years before. So, you know, trying to.
And can you find evidence of what you're saying in a sense where there's one could say that supporting evidence for that would be where there's a lot of contradiction? Because we
found, yeah, that it's very polarized. It's very, yeah, it's one or the other. It's
that's
black
right.
or white.
Because ideologies are dynamical by their nature. So wherever there'll be one or more opposing ideologies to whatever maxim she's using. I'm using maxim like slogan or whatever that she's using, right? That'll be tied to an ideology with an opposing one that's either omitted or that's there but in a contradictory way later. You know, and that's what you should see. The identity research would tell you that, you know, an identity that is not, that is still developing, still forming a sense of self, trying out things, you're going to see a lot of that. That's good. Okay, so you get the idea and you're good already. Well, some of you have done it before, some haven't, so I know there's different levels here of familiarity with this process. But that's just, I wanted to start as this is the most basic kind of way that you could begin. There's other ways, and we saw today, you know, that a discourse analysis person would do it different. A conversation analysis person would do it different. All that's there. But at the end of the day, we've got to get used to moving from description to interpretation, okay, and understand how those two interrelate to one another and how reflexivity plays in. So I think we'll just keep it for this for now. And have a look at Ed's story for next week. Okay, you can do it with someone else. It doesn't have to be a member of the class. Remember, you can just play off ideas with somebody else or a member of the class or yourself, whatever. And just what I'm asking you to write up for next week is just a couple of pages of what you come up with. Okay.
For Ed's story.
However far you get.
For Ed's story.
For Ed's story. Okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah, because we'll do the same one, and then we can share and see where how different or how similar.
So you want like content lead and interpretation, like the whole thing for the
try to follow the ideas here to come up with a set of I don't want to restrict you, but let's try towards the idea of themes and concepts, okay? But if you don't get that far, that's fine. You know, just notice things in the text, right? And try to notice them in a reflexive way. It's some reflexive awareness of what you're noticing in the text and what it could mean. But you don't have to formalize it, is what I'm saying. You don't have to have a structure to your two-page paper where it's all beautifully laid out. Here are my themes. Here are my concepts. Is that okay? It can be more through-composed than that.
The sheet you had on the themes and the concepts, can you email that out? Because I'm going to just give them a few notes, but I've noticed that on the recording for Marty and Beats, there's going to be a couple of sections where they're going to be, because we were describing it, and this thing and this point here and back and forth, and they're going to be sitting there listening to this wondering what the heck
what
is.
What could that mean? Absolutely. yes, I don't know if I still have that anywhere, but I will try. I could just do the little diagram. It's easy enough. Send that as a summary, along with that sheet that you asked for, which has the point from it and what I read.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Good work. All right. So, let's see how our readings, we made up with the readings. We'll go with, how Cheryl, can you tackle chapter 4?